Good morning. And good morning, Lord. Lord, we love you. We love you this morning. We love you every day, Lord. We love you for all you do for us. Lord, we pray that you'd open up your word for us this morning. We pray, Lord, that you'd reveal your truth to us, your ways, yourself. May we learn you. Open up heaven for us, Lord, please. We need your presence here this morning. We need your healing. We need your love. We need your precious Holy Spirit here. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. I know that wasn't our opening scripture, but you ought to be used to that by now, shouldn't you? Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. I'm going to go ahead and read it. And when I'm through reading that, I'm going to read Mark 7, 24 through 30. But we're mostly going to be in Matthew with references to Mark. It's just a little bit different accounts. And each one has its own special things. Okay, starting in verse 21 of Matthew 15. And Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And from Mark chapter 7. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children eat first. Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of your daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone and her daughter laid upon the bed. What defines your faith? I've got a quote here, and I didn't write down who it was, so I don't know who said it, but it says, Your faith will not be defined by what you receive from God. Your faith will be defined by what it takes to stop you from getting to God. How determined are you? Isaiah 50, verse 7, For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Set my face like a flint. And Matthew talks about, Jesus said, Since John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. The things of God, how are we supposed to approach them? We're supposed to take them by force if we have to. We're supposed to be so intense, so determined to have what God has for us. It's like taking it by faith or taking it by force. Jesus had withdrawn. He tried to get away and just maybe get some rest. He didn't get a whole lot of rest. The purpose of withdrawing, in Mark it says that they were trying to make him king. And yet he wasn't ready for that yet. We know he became king. We know that he's our king. We know that he was the king of the Jews. But it wasn't time yet. He had to set up his throne in people's hearts before he set up his throne physically. And the throne that he set up, of course, was on the cross, wasn't it? Where he was crowned. And the placard said, the King of the Jews. Says that this woman says about her, she came, she cried, she called. In Mark 7:25, it said she had heard. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She had heard by faith. She came, she cried, she called. She had faith, but there are always obstacles to faith. And how do we overcome obstacles to faith? With persistence. She had a lot that she had to overcome. She had to overcome culturism. She was a Gentile. He was a Jew. Jews were commanded to have nothing to do with the Canaanites. She had to overcome religion. Her people were pagans. They were idolaters. This was the same place that Jezebel came from. She brought idolatry to Israel. She introduced Baal worship to the northern kingdom of Israel. She had to overcome rejection. Matthew 15:23, and he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. When he finally answered her, his words were harsh. Why? There's two reasons. We'll get to that in a minute or so. She had to overcome reality. Think about it. I had a pastor in Oregon that used to say that there's reality and there's truth. What's the difference? Reality is how things look. Truth is how things actually are. I remember a movie, Harvey, the Jimmy Stewart character. And when he died, he said, I've wrestled with reality for 35 years, and I'm happy to say I finally won out. Reality. We get hung up on how things look. What are we supposed to do? We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk according to what it appears to be. We walk according to God's promises. What God says is, that's what's true. The reality she had to overcome was that she was from a cursed race. They were under a curse. But we're under a curse too, aren't we? It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. Her situation seemed pretty hopeless, didn't it? I said there was two reasons why he spoke harshly to her. Number one, he wanted her to press in. He wanted to increase her faith. He wanted her to work for it. In 1 Kings chapter 18, we see Elijah going up on the top of Mount Carmel to pray for rain. God had told him it was going to rain, but he still had to go up and pray for it. Seven times he prayed. And after each time he prayed, he sent someone to see if anything was going on yet, if there was any sign of rain coming. And finally, the one came back and he said, there's a tiny cloud the size of a man's fist rising up out of the sea. And he said, that's it. And he told King Ahab to head back to town because he said, I hear the abundance of rain. But there's something else. There's another reason why he spoke harshly to her. In verse 22, she said, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. O Lord, son of David. She was appealing to the Messiah of Israel. She was not of the nation of Israel. She didn't have the covenant that Israel had. She had no right, no place, no reason to use that term with him. By using that title, she limited what he could do for her because she had no covenant relationship with him. Then finally, in verse 25, it says, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Very simple. Sometimes the simplest prayers are the best prayers. She worshipped him. Lord, help me. She was focused on his mercy. As I said, she had no right to even approach him. Do we? Psalm 8:4 says, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visited him? Who are we that God would have anything to do with us? The only reason he does what he does is because of who he is. Verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. There's two words for dogs in the Bible, in the New Testament. The first one we find in Matthew 7:6, where Jesus says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. That word means a hound, a mangy cur. When used for people, it means they're unclean, they're filthy, they're dirty. But the word he used here means a puppy, a household pet. You wouldn't have that other type of dog in the house, at least not have it invited in the house. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. In Mark 7:27, Jesus said, let the children first be filled. He didn't say, you can't have what you're asking for. He's giving her a little glimmer of hope. Let the children first be fed. One little word. I can't emphasize enough how important each word in the Bible is. Every word in the Bible is important. Look for those little words, because sometimes they define what it is you're reading. In Deuteronomy, it says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse 27 again, she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. It's like she's saying, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. It's like she's saying, okay, I'm only a dog, but just a dog's portion is all I need. Just a crumb. That's all I'm asking for. Just a crumb of your mercy. You know, some people just won't take no for an answer, will they? But we're supposed to keep asking till he says no. Does he ever say no? In Deuteronomy 3:26, Moses was kept asking about being able to go into the promised land after God told him he couldn't. And finally, God told him, "Speak no more unto me of this matter." Sometimes he'll tell you not to ask again. Paul asked three times for the thorn in his flesh to be removed. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Until then, until he says no, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to give him no rest. Isaiah 62:6-7. "I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth." He might tell us no, don't ask again. But until he does, we give him no rest. We seek him. We seek what we're persistent in what we want. Our opening scripture this morning was in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And I'm going to read it again. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Will he find faith in me? That's what I keep asking myself. How much faith do I have? Am I persistent in the things I ask for? Or do I give up when I don't have them right away? John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Let's look at some people in the Bible. Let's look at the centurion. He placed his servant in the hands of Jesus, and Jesus healed him. Let's look at Jairus. He placed his daughter in the hands of Jesus, and Jesus raised her from the dead. Let's look at Lazarus. 4 days in the tomb, Mary and Martha placed him in the hands of Jesus, and Jesus brought him back to life. Let's look at the hungry multitude. A few little loaves and fishes were placed in the hands of Jesus, and he fed thousands. Twice. And they had an abundance left over. Let's look at the disciples in a boat in a storm in the middle of the lake. They placed themselves in the hands of Jesus and they arrived safely to shore. Let's look at John the Baptist. Matthew 11:2-5. "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Go tell John, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." I'm going to give you one more example. Let's look at Jesus. His lifeless, battered body hanging on a cross. His body is taken down and placed in a grave. And 3 days later, he lives. He lives. You know, it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. There may be dark clouds on that Friday, but the sun's going to shine on Sunday. Sunday is always coming. Verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. What do you think? You think Jesus was smiling at her? I think he was. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Those that come to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Persistently seek him. Against all obstacles, seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, I bet the opposite is true, too. That with faith, we please God. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your word is true. Thank you that you are true. You are truth. Lord, I pray that your word would find its place and remain in our heart. I pray, Lord, that it would be engrafted into our very being. I'm going to invite people to come up for prayer if they need prayer. Don't forget to bring a crumb of faith for his crumb of his mercy. You need to get your husband up here too.